Important dates in Christian history. 1962. Second Vatican Council begins, the most significant council since Trent. It will promote new attitudes and practices in Catholicism as Rome seeks to address the modern age. After Vatican II, priests perform the Mass in the local language whilst facing the congregation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, and we just keep getting dumber and dumberer. This is Wretched Radio, hoping you will send stuff that is wretched to idea at wretched.org. For instance, I hold in my never-before-nicotine-stained fingers this from www.cbn. Would have never found this if you hadn't sent it. Cool. The Biden administration to make it easier to access marijuana. Brilliant. That's exactly what people need.
Yeah.
To have their brains muddled. Excellent. I wonder if Russell Moore is going to write about that. 877-282-2337 if you want to text questions, comments, conundrums, or snarks.
Hey, Todd.
Okay. Do you know that your tone changes every single time? Can I just help you with your marriage?
Oh.
Because
Have you talked to my wife?
No, I don't need to now, because every time you're loading up a dad joke, you got to tell.
Okay.
I can just hear it. So that tells me you got more tells.
Okay. Yeah.
Which you might want to just get. So the next time that you are discussing important things with Mrs. Hicks, just hold a mirror up to your face and you'll see what I'm talking about.
Okay. Hey, Todd.
Yeah, Jimmy.
What do you call a sleepwalking nun?
Nothing.
A Roman Catholic. That's hilarious.
What's hilarious is your response to these.
These are so funny.
Do you ever watch stand-up comedy?
Yeah, I do.
And do you like it?
It takes a lot.
But the dad jokes just hit you right in that funny bone.
Yep.
Well, you know what? They're wholesome.
That's right.
At least.
All right. This is a text from Anonymous. Now, this is a serious question. Todd, even though I know God is real and that Jesus Christ is my friend, sometimes I feel like he's just my imaginary best friend. How do I stop feeling like Jesus is just an imaginary friend, even though I know he's real?
I don't know what that feeling is. And I would say that whatever that feeling is needs to be superseded by fact. That means you need to have a conversation in your head telling the feeling, sit down, truth is going to rule in this noggin. And here's the truth, that there is a real God-man named Jesus Christ, and he is a friend who is closer than a brother, and he is ever near, and he sits at the right hand of God, and he is currently ruling and reigning the universe and upholding the world by the word of his power. That's your God. That's the truth. Tell your feelings to zip it, and that is something we need to do regularly. What are you holding up over there?
That's a book that's available at Wretched.org.
Feelings and Faith.
By Brian Borgman.
That would do the trick right there. We all can do this. Feelings are like powerful, but feelings are subservient to facts. And we all regularly need to rehearse Bible verses. All right, I'm feeling like this. What's the truth? Go through your Rolodex of Bible. That's the truth. Jesus isn't a fairy story. Jesus isn't a fiction of my imagination. He isn't just some ethereal character who kind of drops in on occasion. No, he's all the things the Bible says that he is. And by the way, one of the things that the Bible says he is came from the mouth of Jesus himself. And I can't wait to preach on this on Sunday. I'm so looking forward to this. When Jesus is dealing with the Pharisees, in Matthew chapter 12, he's engaging again, even though he knew they were threatening to kill, they were plotting to murder him. And immediately after Matthew tells us that, what do we see? Jesus engaging with the Pharisees again, because he wasn't a coward. He wasn't a sissy. He was controlling the timing of everything. And he was even compassionate with those Pharisees. You can hear it in the tone. When he's pleading with the Pharisees, you're thinking that I'm from the devil, you brood of vipers. You just have this so wrong. Let me reason with you. Does it make sense for me, if I'm from Satan, to be battling Satan? The kingdom of God is in your midst. And he does a long treatise then on the urgency of salvation. And then he launches into two examples of typology. This is study of the shadows of the Old Testament fulfilled in the substance of Jesus. The fuzzy pictures back there, there's the real deal in Jesus Christ. When he identifies he's greater than Jonah, and he's greater than someone greater than Solomon is here. Whoa. The implications of that, massive. And one of those implications should be when you're fearful, when you're trembling, when you don't have the resources to deal with a situation, you remember that Jesus is greater than Solomon, and he has everything at his access and disposal, and he will use it for your good and for his glory. Theology, it is so needed. Memorizing Bible verses, so crucial. And then you apply them. We're working on these new podcasts and all the stuff that we're looking to produce as we relaunch this fall. Looking forward to that. Very exciting. And we're going to be, in a sense, relaunching the ministry in that we're adding a bunch of new people here besides, well, just me yammering away all the time. And one of the individuals is Dr. John Krotz. Didn't I just read from a book from John Krotz? Excellent stuff from John. So pastoral. And Jason, who's leading up the Fellows program, was writing a description of his program that he's going to be producing called Integrated Theology and Life Integrated. And Jason wrote a beautiful sentence. If you've got millions and millions of dollars in the bank, but you never use them, you never do a withdrawal, what good does it do you? None. Ditto theology. You can have a brain filled with knowledge about God, but if it doesn't apply, doesn't do you, well, much good at all. Theology, Bible memorization, it is not a worthless endeavor. It's got to be there so you can connect it to your feelings. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Vince. Todd, I help out at the baptistry at my church. Recently, four boys around the age of 7 were baptized after their time at VBS. I kind of have a hard time believing that a 7-year-old understands the meaning of repentance and what baptism means. I mean, at age 7, I still thought Batman was real. What is the proper age for one to be baptized?
Ask Justin Peters. His book is super helpful on this subject. Forbid them not.
Do not hinder.
That's what I said.
Yep.
Same thing.
Hinder them not.
I was just using the King James language of the title of Justin. Hinder them not.
Do not hinder them, I think. Hinder them not. What same difference?
Forbid them not would have been a better. He should have called me. It's a great book. You can't say this age. You can't do that because every kid matures at a different level. Is it possible that God would save 4 7-year-olds? Yeah, but salvation. I think that an individual needs to be at the maturation level where they recognize what they're dying to. Remember, that's what Jesus calls us to. Let the dead bury their dead. Pick up your cross. Be willing to die. All of your needs, all of your desires, all of your lusts, gone. Follow me. And if you don't even know what all of those lusts and desires are, I'm not sure you can understand that the expectation of Jesus Christ is that you are going to go to war against those things because he died so you could be forgiven of those things. So could a 7-year-old get saved? Well, of course God can save a 7-year-old. 4, same church, from Vacation Bible School. I would ask the question, how clear was the gospel presented there? And I would do a lot of examining. And as a parent, you really do, you want to go slow with this. Believe me, you want to go slowly, because if you don't, you're going to have a kid who's going to want to get baptized at 7 and 12 and 17 and at 22. And that is a cycle that many people are on. So you're not being cruel to your kid by slowing the roll, examining, See if there's new fruit, not more of the same fruit, but genuine new fruit. And if you start to see some of those things, and if you start to see them persevering, and if you start to see patterns changing in their life, well, then you could probably get a little bit more serious about it. But we want to make sure that we aren't baptizing people too soon. Having said that, you don't want to bar the pool of baptism from them. So it's a tricky one, Mom and Dad. I think Justin Peters' book, Forbid Them From Hindering Them Not. Is that what it's called?
That's close.
Why do I always forget the name of his book?
I think it's Do Not Hinder Them, or Do Not Hinder. Well,
you don't know either. Just Google it. Just Google Justin Peters' book. You're probably going to... Got a title for my book. Did I tell you the title for my book?
You did.
Yeah, I did. Did I?
I don't remember it, though.
Oh, wow. That hurts. Now I know how Justin feels. I didn't come up with it. The title that I won was The Rare Jewel of Christian Maturity. But that was almost taken. It's The Rare Jewel of Christian Contentment instead. Lord Over All.
That was it. I remember now.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Can't wait for that to be released really soon. Late next year. This is Wretched Radio.
All right, listen up, folks. I've got some exciting news for you, because if you've been looking to share the gospel and make a real impact, then we've got the perfect thing for you at the Wretched Store at wretched.org. Of course, you've heard about our gospel booklets. First, there's Are You a Rotten Fish? Perfect for helping you spot the difference between true and false converts. Next, we've got Don't Stub Your Toe. This booklet makes evangelism a breeze. But wait, there's more. The Man Who Split Time proves once and for all that Jesus is God. 22 proofs in this booklet that will have even the most skeptical of skeptics scratching their heads. And last, but certainly not least, 13 reasons why you should not commit suicide. So what are you waiting for? Head over to wretched.org and stock up on these life-changing gospel booklets. Your friends, your family, and even complete strangers will thank you for sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. Gospel booklets available now at wretched.org.
Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in it. It's a little complex out there with the internet and ordering pills. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. They provide free ultrasounds despite the accusations of all pro-life clinics. They are holistic. They do care about the mommy too. And they care for the family, and they provide training. And it is literally a way that if you have the means, you can be saving a life. Amazing ministry. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
All right, Christian, are you, like most of us, concerned about the direction our culture is headed? Yeah, well, listen up, because we are about to launch a brand new initiative within this ministry. We're bringing together 8 brilliant Christian thinkers to create content that tackles today's toughest issues head on. Think of it like a Christian version of the Daily Wire. These experts will be producing articles, podcasts, videos, and even homeschool curriculum. They'll cover everything from ethics and evangelism to science and Gen Z issues. It's all about equipping you to navigate our complex and ever-changing brave new world with biblical wisdom. But here's the thing. We need your support in order to make this happen. We're currently in the middle of a match campaign, a $250,000 match campaign, where every dollar you're able to give will be doubled. If you want to learn more about this initiative and the incredible minds behind it, just visit wretched.org/fellows right now. That's wretched.org/fellows.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teaches us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Wisdom of God. The wisdom of man says we can earn God's favor through good works, but the wisdom of God is made known in Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, put to death on the cross to grant us forgiveness we cannot earn. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, this ought to be devastating, awful, horrendous, Hindenburg-like. This is Wretched Radio. During the break, Jimmy, you said what?
You want to answer a science question?
Here we go.
This is from Anonymous. Anonymous texted in, Todd, what's the Christian perspective on black holes? Are they real? If so, why would God create them?
Oh, this is like sweet spot for me.
Oh, okay.
You know, here's why. Because Jason Lyle can answer that question for you. And he's going to be one of the new fellows here at the ministry, which is exactly why we're excited about him participating. Maybe you see these reports. And almost, isn't it amazing that so much of the outer space reporting has everything to do with denying creation? They just love to look into outer space. See, this is sort of like Earth, so there could be another. But, well, as soon as you find it, you let me know. In the meantime, we're unique. We're God's creation, and that blue marble that spins in the middle, that's the center of his interest and activity. And you ain't going to find it out there otherwise. Nevertheless, they just keep searching and groping in an effort to kill God. And that is my answer on black holes. Next question, Jimmy.
Okay.
I couldn't tell you what a black hole is.
No.
When two people who talk a lot get together, it feels like they've created one. But other than that, I'm sorry. Answers in Genesis. We'll have your answer for you. And well, that'll be the type of stuff that we'll ask Jason Lyle to handle when he officially launches this fall.
All right. This one is from Jesse. Todd, what is the biblical way to think about dyeing hair, Botox, and plastic surgery? I notice more older women at my church doing these things. Are these things ever not vain? How can I cultivate a godly view of appearance and bodies as I age?
Freedom. Freedom is the word that I think drives all of these decisions. If we don't have a Bible verse that clearly states that dyeing your hair is a sin, well, then you'd have to say it's a liberty issue. It is an issue of conscience for the individual. But that is, even though the subject of liberty is a freedom issue, that's not why I think that term is so important. I think being freed from the pressure of the world to conform to its image should liberate you from feeling compelled to have to do those things in order to compete or to look youthful. So I put the two liberty concepts together. It's not a sin necessarily to do those things, unless, of course, there's vain motivation, then it would be a sin. But it's a liberty issue, but I would encourage you to be set free from feeling like you got to do it. You don't have to. Aging is something that is a part of God's plan. It is his process. Furthermore, even though it's not a repetitive theme, old people, that's the goal. To be old and wise, that's where you want. It's like, that's the better thing. Not being a teenager who skateboards with ripped jeans. That's not the goal. The goal is maturation. The goal is dignity. The goal is wisdom. And you don't have to fight against that. Go with it. Now, I understand. Maybe for your job or thing, it's like, you know, kind of got to do that thing. Okay, get that. Need braces? Understood. The Botox thing, I have a confession to make. I know there's more applications, but that Botox thing that women do with their lips, that just isn't my preference, let's say. Be freed from feeling the need to do that. If I don't look youthful, if I don't look sexy, be freed from those thoughts and then make the decision as you see fit. And one last note on this to the people who comment on the YouTube page. Not that it matters to me, but apparently it does. No! I don't dye my hair. So there!
I asked you that my first week on the job.
Did you really?
I did. And I didn't believe your answer.
My grandfather had dark hair into his 80s.
Wow.
It was crazy. And there was still just a little more and less pepper when he died at the age of 104. But
wow.
His hair is my goal. But I don't dye it. Not that it matters to me. 877-282-2333. The beard thing, by the way, the beard wash, I do that. I'll confess that. Because otherwise it looked like Santa Claus. And it looks really awful. And my wife wouldn't tolerate it. And this is bad enough as it is. But dyeing my hair, no! This is the real deal. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Jack. Todd, I often struggle with grogginess and brain fog in the mornings, especially during allergy season. And I wonder if I should still start each day in God's Word, even though I struggle to focus and think clearly under these conditions, or should I wait for a time later in the day when it's not much of a problem?
Gotta go find that verse that tells you exactly when you're supposed to do that. And if you don't find one, then you choose the best time for you. If it's not mandated, you have freedom. Do I think it's really good to start the day that way? I do. Maybe it hasn't gotten crazy. Your brain isn't just as much, at least first thing in the morning. So it's a good way to start the day with the Lord. Begin thy task. Jesus will direct it. Every morn with Jesus rise, and when day is ended, let the Lord then close thine eyes, be to him commended. So I think those are good times to do it, but not mandated. So do it on a schedule that makes sense for you and doesn't make it such a burden. Pick it. Find the place. Find the time. And then enjoy your time with the Lord, whatever time that happens to be. idea@wretched.org.
All right, this is from Abby. Todd, as a parent of young children, I'm conflicted on spanking. I think the Bible didn't accidentally use the rod to represent discipline, but most of my Christian friends purposely avoid, quote, hitting their kids because they say spanking is abuse.
No,
are they right?
No, it's not. I mean, can it be? Of course it can be. For instance, I could push you gently so that you don't get bump into the wall or step into a mess. Or I could come behind you and just give you like a shove that gives you a whiplash. Okay, they're both pushes. One is sinful, the other isn't. The same thing is true with discipline. The Bible is so clear on this subject that if you don't love your child, you won't spank them. If you love your kid, you'll discipline them because it works. There is a connection between the body and the soul. It is undeniable. Come on, food proves that. That's why we have something called comfort food. I'm just feeling, oh, that was hot dish. Oh, shepherd's pie. Oh, tomato soup. Oh, a malt from Chick-fil-A. If you must. It makes you feel better. Why? Because there's a connection between your body and soul. And the same thing is true with children and naughty behavior. It's true for you too as an adult. Come on. You don't put your hand on the stove for a good reason. It hurts. You know that. Why? Because of pain. And children can learn because of pain. And the Bible doesn't just suggest it. It prescribes it. Having said that, how you do it is so crucial. If you are anywhere near abusive, if you are out of control, if you are not able to preach the gospel to your child while you are spanking them, you are doing it sinfully. So you need to adjust. And if you don't think that you have the ability to do that, then you don't spank your kid without calling your spouse into the room to supervise you. Because you do not want to be abusing your child. And it's not just because of the physical aspect. It is because it preteaches very bad theology. God lovingly disciplines his children. God lovingly disciplines you. And if you aren't doing it lovingly, then you are doing it abusively, sinfully, and wrong. What is the goal of spanking? If it's, well, because the kid made a mess today. The kid didn't do what he was told to do today. Seth moused his mother today. Wrong, wrong. And wrong. That's not why you spank. You spank because they're sinning. They're in danger. They need to love Jesus more than their sin. That's the goal of spanking. Will this encounter with my child lead them to love the Lord more? If not, you're doing it wrong. Do talk about that a fair amount in Reset for Parents, if you are interested in such books, at wretched.org.
All right. This question is from...
Look at you, Jimmy.
What?
Look at you sliding right into it, even though it's tighter than you want it to be with the clock.
Well, I have a dear
friend. It's like a marriage. Where you're just kind of adjusting for me. And you know what I just did?
What'd you do?
I just burned up 20 of your seconds. Hurry up, man.
It's like a marriage. This is from Anonymous. I have a dear family member that believes that the Disney Corporation is satanic. I disagree. Am I wrong?
Well, I don't know what satanic means. Do they pump out a bunch of bilge these days? Yeah. Do they have social agendas? Absolutely. They want your kids. Increasingly, they want your kids. Would I call the whole organization sinful? No, I'm sure there's some lovely people who work there. But is their agenda increasingly terrible? Yeah, and that means you got to be selective. You can't just give a carte blanche to an organization like Disney. You got to screen it just like anything else. You've got to screen it. Watch this, Jimmy.
Okay.
This will either be brilliant or devastatingly horrible. Because if you do not watch what your kids are consuming, it could be that their life will end up in a black hole. I have no idea what that means. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.